To open our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter number 4. As we continue our series that we started a few weeks ago titled Limitless, I'm reading from Romans chapter number 4. Romans is just immediately after the book of Acts. Romans chapter number 4, I'm going to be reading from verse number 17. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for gathering us around your word again this lovely, beautiful morning. Thank you because we have your word to come to. Lord, as we behold your word this morning, let light shine from heaven. Let there be illumination into our heart this morning. Let this word bring refreshing. Let it bring encouragement. Let it bring direction. Let it inspire us. Let it direct us, reprove us, instruct us, correct us in righteousness. I ask that you anoint the ears and the hearts of your people. I also ask that you anoint me afresh, Lord. Help me to communicate to your people your word in the way that it's going to be a blessing to them as the hearer and myself as the speaker. Let it drop as the rain of heaven. Let it distill as the dew. And let it bring forth faith. Let it generate faith, abundance of faith in their hearts, so that all of us will have been transformed by the reason of your word. Thank you because you're going to do this and much more. For we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And the church says, amen. Amen. Praise God. This morning, I would like to continue with our series we started a few weeks ago. We called Limitless. Now, if you are a guest of ours, we've been in this series, and today is going to be the third installment, if you like, of this teaching. Now, by limitless, we are referring to the fact that the possibilities are limitless. The possibilities this year are limitless. In other words, there is no impossibility. Anything is possible. So in the first week, for instance, we talked about limitless wisdom. We said the possibilities are limitless if you will quit planning your work and start walking in his plan. In other words, anything is possible this year if you will quit planning your work and start walking in his plan. And we refer to that as the wisdom of God, the limitless wisdom. We said wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective and applying or responding accordingly. You see something from God's perspective and apply yourself to it and respond accordingly. The second week we said the possibilities are limitless. In other words, anything is possible if you will quit relying on your power and start to release his power. We call that limitless prayer. And that was what we looked at last week. As a matter of fact, we went into the fact that God answers all prayers, perhaps not necessarily in the way that we always expect. We talked about the fact that God sometimes says yes to prayer, in which case we describe as direct, God answering directly. We said sometimes God says no to prayer, in which case we said that's denied. God may say no to prayer, and no is an answer. We say sometimes God says yes, but not this time, or not yet time. And we call that delayed. So it's not just that it's direct, it's not just that it's denied, it could also be delayed. And the third aspect, we said God sometimes answer our prayers, but he will say yes, but in a different way. In other words, it's different. You know, so it could be direct, it could be denied, it could be different, and it could be delayed. And we went into that to encourage all of us to keep praying, because there are no substitute to releasing the power of God to experience something beyond the limits of our lives. Limits that come across to us in the area of our health, across to us in the area of our finances, the limits that the enemy has placed upon us as a family, that all those things could be shattered, can become shattered, if only we're going to apply the wisdom of God and if we're going to be able to apply prayer, which is what we shared last week. Today, I want to submit to you that the possibilities are limitless. In other words, anything is possible if you will quit being sense-led and start being spirit-led. Anything is possible, or the possibilities are limitless, if you're going to stop being led by your senses and start being led by the Spirit. I call that limitless faith. Church, please say with me, limitless faith. I want you to say it out loud in faith. Limitless faith. Okay, great. Limitless faith. And I want to refer us to our cardinal scripture. This cardinal scripture, we have been looking at it over the last few weeks. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Technical team, if you will help me to put it up there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, from verse number 11 to 13. It says this: O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. You are not restricted by us. What is restricting you are your own affections. In other words, many of the things that we experience in life that appears to be placing a limit on us is not something that God has placed in us. It's not something that the Bible or the Word of God has placed in us. Those restrictions that we experience in our relationships, in our family, in our finances, in our health, in our emotional life, they are not restrictions that God has placed in us. They are restrictions that perhaps we, by the reason of our ignorance and not operating some laws of the Spirit, have placed on ourselves. And the purpose of this series is to help you to break the shackles that have kept you bound and that has kept us bound over the years, such that we're going to begin to experience this limitless life in God. The other translation, which is the Message translation, puts it directly. It says this: Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide, open, spacious life. We're still reading 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 from verse 11. It says, we didn't fence you in. We didn't cage you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you are living them in a small way. And that applies to many of us. Your lives aren't small. You are living them in a small way. The life that Christ died for you and I to live, they are not small. But for some reasons, we are living them in a small way. And he says, I'm speaking as plainly and as I can, and with great affection, open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. Now, the question is, how do we then open up this life? How do we get out of this cocoon, as it were, this shell into which our lives seem to be to have been encaged over the years. Now, some of us actually feel it from within us. We just feel that there is more to my life that I'm not actually experiencing. I mean, this can't be what life is all about. There should be more to it than just daily waking up, going to work, coming back. It's like tasteless. It's bland. It's not exciting. And you're correct. If that's the sense that you're having in your spirit, as a matter of fact, I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is prompting you to let you know that there is much more than you are currently experiencing in terms of life in God. The Bible says, I have come that they might have life, John chapter 10, verse 10, and they might have it more abundantly. Another translation says, live it to the full. There is a fullness that comes with a life that is lived in Christ. And that's the reason why we are trying to elucidate, as it were, trying to find out exactly what is causing the restrictions, the limits, you know, over our lives, and see how by the Spirit of the Lord we begin to deal with them. Because I believe that this year you will be helped by God. If you believe that, say amen. And the word that the Lord has given to us is, I will help you. Do not fear. I will help you. And for us to have this help, it appears to me that God has already sent some word unto us to help us to see how we can take advantage of the help that is released and made available by His Spirit and by His grace. So the first thing is that we need to apply the wisdom of God. If you miss that, we can find that on our website, and you can go through that again. And last week I talked about prayer. That's key. That's important. If you and I are not going to take prayer seriously this year, we can as well forget about this expansive life. It's not going to happen, because it does not just happen by accident. It's happened by divine arrangement, orchestrated by following the dictates of the Spirit. And so we're not going to experience it if we ignore this thing. The third thing that I want you to also appreciate that will help us to come into this wide, expansive, open, limitless life is what I call limitless faith. Now, anytime you talk about faith, people have different ideas about what you are talking about, you know, and it is not impossible to have come across situations where you find it's difficult to apply faith. Many people have this experience, this idea that faith, well, when you talk about faith, is this nebulous, you know, ill-defined things that you find with religious folks. You know, they just talk about some presumption, you know, something you just try and imagine to be there. But that's not faith at all. Faith is more than that. And that's what I believe by the Spirit of the Lord we're going to see, and see the practical aspect of it, especially as it applies to our life. Now, it reminds me of the story of a gentleman named Jack, who happened to be walking along a steep cliff, you know. For whatever reason, he found himself there. I don't know what he was looking for. And then along the line, he fell. Now, when he fell from the steep side of this cliff, it was already going down. But for some reasons, he was able to hang on a branch. So on his way down, he came across a branch, and his hand held upon that branch of the tree. And he was happy about that. But he was not going to be there forever, you know. He was going to be there for a while before he would find help. He realized that the longer he would stay there, the more stress and strain was developing in his arms. And so because he was getting tired, holding on, he looked down and he found that he was still several tens of meters from the bottom of the cliff. And he found that it was actually there are edges of the rock and all those things down there. So he knew that if he would just release his hold on this branch of the tree, he would definitely die. And of course, he didn't want to die. So he started shouting, hoping that somebody around would give him some help, you know. Anyone there? You know, anyone help there? You know, he assumed that if there was somebody up there, the person would be able to lower down a rope of some kind and help him up. But there was no response, and that went on for minutes. And after a while, he had a voice, you know, saying, "Jack, Jack, are you okay?" He was excited to hear that because he knew that that means help was around, you know. But he could see no one. So he said, "Yeah, I'm okay. Who are you and where are you?" The voice says, "I'm the Lord." Jack says, "You mean God?" He said, "Yes, I'm God. But I can't see you." Jack says, God says, "Yeah, you can see me, but I can see you." Jack says, "Look, if you're going to get me out of this, as from today, I will love you. As from today, I will serve you. As from today, I will stop sinning. As from today, I will start going to church." And God said, "No, stop. Just let's get you out of this first, and then we can have a conversation." He said, "Oh, yeah, God, that's a good idea. Get me out of this first, and I will tell you all the other things I will stop doing and the other things I will start doing as from today." And God says, "So release your hand, your grip on the branch." And Jack says, say that again. Said, "Release your hand, your grip from the branch, because I'm going to grab you here. I'm down here, and I'm going to hold you." Jack looked left, right, looked up, looked down. He couldn't see anyone. After contemplating on that response for a while, he looked up again and shouted, "Please, anyone there again?" You know why? Because he would rather find somebody who is actually real than some imaginary, so to say, voice asking him to jump without any evidence that he's already there. And more often than not, that's exactly the way faith presents itself to many of us. Now, many of us think that faith is something that you do when there is no evidence, when there is no evidence at all. But that's not exactly what the Bible says. In Hebrews chapter number 11, it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things that are not seen. In other words, it is not faith when there is no evidence. It is faith because there is an evidence. Now, this is the difference, and I want you to track with me here. The difference is that many of the times when it has to do with the subject of faith, the evidence is appearing at a higher pedestal, not physical. But it is not true that it does not have an evidence, that there is no evidence to it. There is an evidence to it, but it's just that the evidence is spiritual. It is a reality, but it's just that the reality is in the unseen realm. You know, many of the times I remember in those days when we would talk about, you know, things that we want to do, things we believe that God is going to do in our lives and all those things. And when we'll be sharing with a friend, the friend will say, look, you know, I know you're talking faith. Now let's talk reality, you know. Stop talking faith. Now let's talk reality, you know. What they mean is that when you're talking about faith, then it is not real, you know? And so you need to move from talking about what's going to happen, what God has said about your life, and begin to talk about real stuff. But that's not exactly what the Bible talks say about faith. Okay? Faith is the substance of things that is hoped for, the evidence of things that is not seen. Another translation says, is the evidence of unseen reality. In other words, there are certain things that are real that are still unseen. And you don't need to be a professor, a college professor, to be able to figure out that. Because right here in this room, there are things that are real that we can't see. And there are things that are flying around that we can't see. Let me ask you, why do you find that people move away from folks that are sneezing, you know, in a public place? Why? Because they've got faith that there are certain things that are being released that they can't see. They say, "Oh, don't give me that virus. Did you see one?" Obviously, no. But because you know that when somebody sneezes, or you have been told that when somebody sneezes, certain things are released that you can see. But that doesn't mean they're not real. As a matter of fact, if you stay too close, you will discover that it's just a function of time, 24, 36, sometimes 48 hours, and you're going to catch the cold. They are real, even though they are not seen. Now, let me give you an instance. Each time you buy a bulb, you know, just like this bulb now, most of them will come with this thing that is written on them. They call it the frequency. It may come with 60 hertz, or they call it hertz. It's spelled H-E-R-T-Z. is the frequency. Now, what you don't realize is, what that means is that when they write 50 or 60, it means that that light, that bulb that you've got, is blinking 60 times in a second. That's exactly what is happening. Right now, this guy up there is blinking. Now, but you can't appreciate any blinking. Why? Because you don't have that, your naked eye does not have the capacity to appreciate that unseen reality. It is a reality, but your eye has not got that capacity to appreciate it. The fact that you don't have the capacity to appreciate it does not make it unreal. That's exactly what happens to faith. Faith deals with real stuff, but it does not deal with real stuff at the level of the senses. In other words, the senses have not been equipped enough to appreciate the reality of what happens in the realm that faith dwells and operates. Now, what realm does faith dwell and operate? It's called the realm of the spirit. And it is important for you to appreciate this first. Otherwise, you're going to think that each time we talk about faith, we're just talking about some religious subject that only people that go to church talk about. Now, and that will make sure that, and that will make us to be coming and to be coming from the perspective and the position of a disadvantage, because our dominion in life is a function of our contact, our hooking up to this realm where faith is actually are meant to be working. That's where faith starts working. Now, when God has us to walk by faith, you remember the Bible says the righteous shall live by faith. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4, repeated also in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38. The righteous shall live by faith. Now, it's not talking about some religious thing. It's talking about some real stuff. In other words, you and I, we're going to actually excel in life. We need to do it by faith. Now, have you ever asked yourself the question, why is it that God always talks about this faith thing as if this faith thing is the only thing that he can walk by? You know, why can't he walk some other ways? He knows we are struggling with faith. So why will he insist that we walk by faith before we have access to the things that will make us to live victorious Christian life? Why? I mean, you might have been frustrated. I mean, I have had to ask God, Lord, why can't you just do this? Just forget about faith for a moment. I mean, it's hard to have faith. God, it's difficult. Human beings find it difficult to operate in faith. And this is the picture that seems to pop up in my heart. Why would God require us to walk by faith in order to live a successful Christian life? Now, imagine a situation you have just brought. Somebody has just arrived from the outback, you know. This person has never visited the city before, so it's the very first time that he will be coming to the city. So you took him, got him from the airport, still asking you questions. How does the plane fly? How does it land? He's never experienced such things before. And then you brought him to Ellenbrook, you know, you've just got a good apartment for him, and you everything furnished, you know, equipped, and there are things for him to enjoy himself with. I mean, he has everything, TV, fridge, food, plenty of them. And you say, look, this is the place I've prepared for you, and everything is there, you know, and you can make use of everything. Now, don't forget, this guy is just coming from the house back, you know, from one very remote village. So, and then you lodge him there, and then you went back to your own house. And right in the morning, around 5 a.m. the following day, you received a call. This call happened to be from this person who you're just lodging the night before in this beautiful apartment, and is asking you, look, please, can you please help me to bring some water in a bucket? And you say, water in a bucket? Why? He said, well, don't you guys take your bath here? I said, yeah, we do. Yeah, so that's why I say, you come from your home, bring a bucket filled with water, perhaps pass by the stream, get some water, and bring it to the house. And you said, no, in the city, you don't do that. I mean, you don't have to do that. I said, why? You don't bath? No, we do. It's just that, you see, that thing in the bathroom, is a tap. He said, yes, I saw it, this shiny stuff that looks like, you know, a wheel. Yeah, that's actually a tap. What you just need to do is to turn it around, and when you turn it around, as much water as you want will come from it, and you can take your bath, and in fact, you can sleep in the water. Just don't get drowned, you know? And he said, really? I said, yeah. Okay, but look, I still will insist that you use the bucket and get some water from the stream and bring it to my house. Now, that's exactly how many of us want God to operate. Now, God has provided, as it were, a tap. There is water already available, and he's saying, look, all the water you will ever use is already available, stored somewhere in the tank. You just move the tap, open the tap, and the water will come. And we'll say, no, look, it's difficult. I've never done it before. I want you to come and get me some water in the bucket. That's exactly the picture that the Lord painted in my heart. Believers ask God to do things that God has already done, and God is asking them, use what I've already provided, and you will get it because it's already done. Now, but it becomes difficult because we are operating in two different worlds entirely, and God understands that, and that's the reason why until you go back to the original root of your dominion as a person, you never appreciate the reason why faith has to be brought into the question. And that's what's going to take me back to the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter number 1, I want you to turn there, people of God. Genesis chapter number 1, and I'm going to read from verse number 26. Now, this area, we have probably read it a lot of times, but the Lord prompted something in my heart as I read this one the other time, and I want to share with you. Genesis chapter number 1, verse 26. Now, before I go into explaining what happens there, I want to explain to you that as you are sitting here, there is, as it were, two parts to you. You know, I'm not going to go into the details of the tripartite nature of man, but I'm just going to make it simple here, and I will say there are just two parts in the sense of there is a spirit part of you, and there is a physical part of you. In other words, there is an unseen part of you, and there is a seen part of you. Now, what I can see here with my eye, using my glasses, are the physical part of you. That's the physical part of you, but that's not all that it is to you. There is a spiritual part of you, which is actually the real you, that I can't see with my naked eye. And you can't see my spirit. I can see your spirit. I can only see you seated physically on a physical chair, looking physically good because you're putting on a physical cloth. You know? That's the way it is. Now, in the book of Genesis, there are two things that happen. There is the created man, and there is the formed man. Now, listen to me and just track along with me. What we find in the book of Genesis, the Bible talks about the two components or the two aspects, I will use that word, of man, the created part and then the formed part. In verse 26, it says this, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Now stop. Now when it's talking about that, what is God exactly talking about in terms of image and likeness? And some people say, look, if you see me, you see God, because I've got two eyes, God has got two eyes. I've got two hands, God has got two hands, got two feet. That's not what he's talking about at all. Otherwise, it's going to be a confusing thing. That means God looks like you, he looks like me, he looks like her. And some of us are short, some of us are tall, some of us are fat, some of us are, you know. It's not talking about the physical appearance of humans. Rather, it's talking about the nature, the very nature of God, which means his spirit. So when God says, let's make man in our image and after our likeness, he's talking about let's make a spirit being that looks like us spiritually. All right? And then look at what he says. He says, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all. In other words, let this being that we're going to create, let it live above every other thing. that we're going to create, physical things, let it also live above every other situation and circumstance by the reason of the fact that we are handing over the dominion to him. Look at verse 27. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. And male and female, he created them. Then God blessed him, and God said to him, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have, what's that word? Dominion. Okay, now we're talking about limitless. We're talking about limitless because it's an unlimited thing. You can't hone in that, you can't capture it. It is above everything. And that's the way it was made. But that's not the way everything about him was made. It was the spiritual component of him that was made to have dominion. Okay? Now, if you now go back, move forward into Genesis chapter number 2, verse 7, after God has made the man in his image and after his likeness, he now decided that, look, this man will need to dwell on the physical planet called Earth. And for him to stay here, he needs a house. He needs a body. Look at what he did in chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now, so this is the formed part of man. This was not created. It was already in existence. The dust was already there. God brought it out and made it in the fashion of humans. And the Bible says he breathed upon him and he became a living soul. Okay, so this part that we're reading about here is the physical component of man. And this part, don't forget, was not the one that was given the dominion. Church, are you following me? The part that was given to the dominion was the part that was made in the image and the likeness of God. That means your spirit and my spirit. Now, it was after the fall of Adam that the physical component of man begins to take the lead in his life. And that's why he begins to hear and take, begin to respond to what he hears, what he feels, what he tastes, has been the dominant reason to take steps and dictate his pace in life. Before that, it was the Spirit of God made in the image of God that was given the dominion. So it was the Spirit that actually dominated where the man should go and what the man should do at every point in time. And that is why it is practically impossible for you to be able to live at the realm of God with this physical being. To live at the realm of God, which means to live at the realm of faith, means that it's the spirit man of the man that operates at that level. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that the dominion that God gave to man will never be in the hand of any man that operates with the senses. Because the physical component of man was never given dominion. The dominion was given to your spiritual person. In other words, that means that God operates by faith, and so he expects that if you are going to experience the same dominion that he experiences on a daily basis, you need to operate by faith, because faith only becomes sensible at the realm of your created being, not at the realm of your formed being. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, the created part of you is the part that has the function to begin to harness faith to create things. And that's why the Bible says in the place that we've read in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, that this is the way exactly, this is exactly where God operates. So when God says, let there be light, there was not any light, but God spoke it off by faith. The Bible says in verse number 17, the place we have just read, he said he calls things which do not exist as though they did. So that's exactly how he wants you to operate as a spirit being. Now, the problem here is this. Many of us have never developed that spirit being, so we want to claim faith using our senses, and it does not work. And that's why we feel frustrated, because the flesh has never been handed over the dominion, the faith, the capacity to be able to operate at the realm of the faith level, okay? It's just like the thing that is actually frustrating to us is we want to operate in a new life using old apparatus. We want to operate the new life, the new nature of God, using the old apparatus. I still have a lot to share here, but let me just round up here. I believe the Spirit of the Lord will use whatever we have shared here to bring home to you what it means to operate by faith. Now, I have had the opportunity of being in the place where babies are born. I've also had the opportunity of actually taking deliveries of baby myself, you know, both natural and by cesarean, you know. I've consistently noticed that babies, when they come, none of the babies, at least the ones that have helped to deliver, comes laughing and smiling, you know. No, it does not happen. Usually, there is a consistent thing that they do, and that is to cry. At the first sign that they are around here is for them to cry. As a matter of fact, when they don't cry, everyone is in trouble. Everyone starts running helter-skelter. This guy has to cry. This guy has to cry. In some cruel traditional way, they actually slap the baby to start crying. Now, this baby is coming from a different world, and it's coming to a new world. Now, you need to understand the psyche of this baby. For the last 9 months, this baby has only used a particular apparatus to function. And that's the cord, the umbilical cord that attaches him to his mother. All his food, all his nutrients, all his the air, the oxygen has been coming from that source. He's used to that. As a matter of fact, sometimes when he feels so excited, he kicks, you know, he kicks and he moves, you know, because he's happy. He doesn't have to open his mouth to eat. He doesn't have to use his lungs, his nostrils to eat. In fact, I'm sure that most babies will be wondering, what are all of these for? You know, because they never needed to use it at all. Now, all of a sudden, something happened. He feels that the water around him, because he's always been an aquatic animal all his life in the womb, you know, his life actually starts around here when we give birth. But as far as he's concerned, he's already living. And of course, medical science says he's living. It's just that he is living in a different world. He's an aquatic animal, meaning that he's just like the crocodile and, you know, the fish, you know. And then all of a sudden, he feels that the aquatic, the water is drained. And then he has to pass through a passage. We call it the birth canal. And then he comes to the other side. And for some reason, some crazy midwife or doctor decide to cut the exact source that he has been sustaining himself with over the last 9 months. And they cut the source. And this guy does not understand what is happening. Number one, this place is actually cold, you know, because where he's coming from is a lot warmer, cozy, dark. You know, it's like you're going to sleep, you put off the light, and then you're sleeping. That's the way it is. But he's now coming to a new in a new environment. Now, what the baby does not understand is that in this new environment, the apparatus that he has sustained himself for the last 9 months does not work. He had no clue. Now, he does not understand that there is no way you can continually get attached to the umbilical cord of your mother and sustain yourself in this part of life, in this part, in this environment. Now, but we need to let him know. And there's no way we can educate him. We can't talk to him. He does not understand. He will not agree. So we need to go ahead and cut it. And then he will get to understand that the apparatus that has been given to him has always had the capacity to function, only that he has never had to use it. Now, the Bible says exactly the same way it is when somebody is born again. You and I. That's our experience. Now, before we came to know the Lord, we have always used our senses. We are used to it. The things we see, the things we hear. That's the way we rolled. That's the way our life has been. Now, all of a sudden, at the point of rebirth, John chapter 3, at the point of rebirth, we are asked to begin to operate with something that we have never used before. Now, that thing is there because we are never born of... The fact that you are born again means that you have a quantum. The Bible calls it the measure of faith within you. Otherwise, you will never be born again. The reason that you are born again is because you have the faith of God in you. God released that faith to get you born again. However, that faith needs to be used, developed, and to sustain yourself in the new environment. And that's exactly what God is asking you and I to do. You are born again. In this particular platform that we have come into, you live by faith. You don't live by what you hear. You don't live by what you see. You don't live by what they say. You don't live by the way you feel. You live by faith. Why? Because you used to be a baby in the womb. Now you are in a terrestrial platform where the apparatus that you were using in the aquatic environment will not sustain you. And that's why you have a lot of believers who are dying daily. Why? Because they have just refused to use the apparatus of their new environment to sustain themselves. They still want to operate with the same umbilical cord in the womb in a new environment, and it does not work. And that's why they are, you know, kwashiorkored and shriveled to the bone, because they can't sustain in this new environment. People of God. Now, I want to challenge you. If you're going to amount to anything in this new walk that you're in, you've got to walk by faith. Church, please say with me, I've got to walk by faith. Now, you know the reason why? Because when you came into this place, we did not, just like we did not give that baby the opportunity to choose, do you want umbilical cord to remain or do you want to use the new life? You know, we didn't give him the choice. In this new life, as soon as you got born again, the umbilical cord of your senses was severed because it cannot sustain you in the new life. And because of that, because the baby felt so much in a different environment, the first thing he wants to say is, where am I? And when he says, where am I? That's the point that he starts crying. And he needed that cry. Why? Because at the first, something kicks in. The part that has always sustained him before, and medical science will tell you that, there is a ductus arteriosus that is always there that allows him to experience some things. It just got cut off all of a sudden, and the lung for the first time filled with air. And it continues that way. It continues that way. Of course, he cries for a while before he realizes, oh, okay, it's not that bad. You know, it's not that bad. You know, you are in a new life, people of God. You are in a life called the spirit life. And you need to operate by the new apparatus called faith. Because at the level of the spirit, your dominion is actually attached to you, functioning at that level. And when you drop from that level, there is no way you can be dominating anything on earth. Because the limits of life has been placed such that it keeps the flesh under, but the spirit is always above. That's why the Bible says, he that comes from above is above all. Is above all. Now, what is faith? As I begin to round up. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. Is that difficult, church? No. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. Just think about it. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. The expanded form, which I've shared before, is faith is acting as if it is so, when it is not so, so that it might become so because God said so. Faith is acting as if it is so when it is not so, so that it might be so just because God says so. You're just acting as if God is telling the truth. And it is important for us to understand that until you begin to operate by faith, limits are always going to be around your life, all of your life. Not because God is wicked, not because God is not interested in you, but because you have not ascended to the platform of his operation. God says, let there be light. He's operating from that realm. So for you to begin to operate at the realm of dominion, you must come into a platform of using your faith. And that's why your faith is important. It is not just something that you pull out when there is trouble and crisis. It's the way you live by. Just like the newborn baby lives by the reason of his lungs. You know, he doesn't say, oh, okay, all right, I'm just going to escort my friend. Okay, lungs, you stay at home, and then I'm going to come back to you. No, that's the way you live. So that means that morning tonight, you are trusting God and acting as if he has just told you the truth. The truth about your marriage. You are acting as if he has told you the truth. The truth about your finances. You are acting as if God has said the truth. How many of us actually live our life as if God is telling the truth? You'll be amazed. Amidst us as believers, because we are not trusting God. We're, just like that young man that I said was on the steep cliff and was holding on the branch, he does not trust that God is telling the truth that is down there. And that's the way believers, born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking believers, that's the way we are dealing with God. We say, yes, he said so, but, you know, I need to use wisdom. And when people say, I need to use wisdom, they are saying that I need to use my senses. I need to be sensible about this. You know, I need to put my senses in place here. And it does not work, people of God. It does not work. Romans chapter 4 that we have just read talks about three key things that is important for it to be in place for you to call what you hold in your hand faith. We don't have the time to go there, and I will just rush through it briefly. The first thing that the Bible talks about is that in verse number 18, it says, who contrary to hope, in hope, believe, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. There has to be a conversation. Until there is a conversation, there can't be faith. Faith is a product of the word of God. Faith is when you have a romance with the word of God. The question to you, people of God, is, do you hear him talk to you from his word? Do you listen to his word? If you don't have access to having his word, then you can't blame anyone for not having enough faith. You know, many of the times what we complain of, oh God, I don't have enough faith. I don't have enough faith. But we don't ask ourselves the question, how much of exposure to God's word do we have? Some of us, the only time we hear God's word is now, just now that I'm talking about it. We want to build our life, both now and in eternity, on the word spoken by a man of God, 40 minutes on a Sunday. That's not going to work. There has to be a conversation. The conversation must go on. And that's when you have access to his word. The second thing is, the Bible says in verse number 8:19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. Talking about Abraham, I don't have all the time to share that aspect of the word with you, but there has to be a consideration. He said he did not consider. There has to be a consideration, not consideration of what the flesh is telling you, but the consideration of what the spirit is telling you. That's what we call rumination. You know, so you have initially, there is a conversation which brings the word. There is also a consideration of the word that has been given to you. The Bible says something. Is it true? How is it true? How does it work? Is it going to work like this? And you know, that's when you begin to ruminate on his word. And as you begin to do that, there is something that will happen to you. There is going to be the final thing, which is called conviction. There is going to be a conviction. The Bible says in verse number 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. So, conversation, the word of God, consideration, which is rumination on the word of God, and that will lead us to conviction, which is at a point where we believe that this is true, and it puts us on the platform to begin to act upon it. Many years ago, I read a passage in God's word, Romans chapter number 10, verse 11. It says this, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Now, that was one of, that word came to me at one of the most difficult times of my life. No one who put his trust in him will ever be put to shame. When I meditated on that word, I shouted in my heart, this will work. In fact, this is working. Why? Because there is a conviction in my heart that this will never end in shame. Why? Because he said so, because I ruminated on it. The juice of the word came from my spirit man, elevated that spirit man to the point that he begins to have dominion over the circumstances, even when the situation remains exactly the same. It was a function of time before things changed over. People of God, what I'm saying is this. Get your faith, polish it, make use of it. That's the only reason why you can be sure that the limits over your life will be broken forever. Without it, there is no way out. The end of the road is near for any believer who chooses to walk in the flesh, use the senses to operate his direction and his life. I'm challenging you, people of God. It is time to begin to live as if God was telling the truth. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. Shall we pray?